Okay. Well, he's on. Trying to load it here. Hang on a second.
And pro family values.
Who's the speaker? Aaron Klein. Sorry, Jen. He's a Jewish journalist, lives over there, or spends a lot of time over there. So he has a special one from Jerusalem tonight. He's going to talk about the war. I thought it might be interesting. If it's not, we'll just forget it.
Now on 77 WABC, your New York weekend.
A guy who has terrorists on speed dial. Is he gutsy
or crazy?
It's Aaron Klein, investigative radio, with WorldNet daily reporter and John Batchelor contributor, Aaron Klein.
Israel is now at war. I am broadcasting live from Tel Aviv under the threat of rockets. I must immediately tell you that if during the show a siren goes off, if the air raid siren goes off, I'm going to have no choice but to leave the show for a few minutes. When the siren goes off, you've got about 15 to 20 seconds to get to a bomb shelter, and then literally 10, 15, 20 seconds later, you hear the boom. Hopefully, any boom that we hear is going to be Israel intercepting the incoming missile or rocket and not a rocket slamming into the land. So far, no rocket actually hit the ground in Tel Aviv, Israel. You've heard several rockets were fired and then landed in open area. I know the open area has been the sea. I actually get specific information every single time when the rocket lands. I can't announce where they've been landing, but thankfully the last two times they were shot down. They were intercepted by Israel's excellent Iron Dome system. It's really a brilliant display. Yesterday, this was at about 4:30 p.m. my time, there was a rocket shot down. I watched it. I was on the beach at the time in Tel Aviv. You could actually see, I'm sure you've already seen the video of this, of one glaring light and then another and then a big explosion in the air. It is absolutely stunning. I would say it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing to see, but unfortunately, I think I'm going to see it several more times. Now, Israel, as I speak, the Israeli Air Force continues to pound away at targets in Gaza as 75,000 reservists have been, well, potentially put on hold for the possibility of call-up. This is the total right now that has been approved by the Knesset for call-up. Now, I have to say right away that unless Israel is prepared to do what needs to be done, unless Bibi Netanyahu is going to authorize the Israeli Defense Forces to do what they need to do in the Gaza Strip, I think they should end the military operation right now. It will be pointless to continue, pointless because in just a few months, Hamas will only regroup and get more rockets and missiles that they can point throughout the country. So why lose the casualties on both sides? Although I'm not comparing both sides in any way, obviously Hamas uses civilians as human shields. I'm sure you've seen now the video that I placed at Klein, the photo, I'm sorry, that was at KleinOnline.com. It was all over Drudge. Thank you, Matt, for linking to it for three straight days, of Hamas having a missile, a Fajr 5 launch pad around the corner, literally around the corner from a playground, from a mosque, from two civilian factories. Now, when I say that Israel needs to do what must be done, what I am referring to is not simply cleaning out the Gaza Strip of a terrorist military jihadist infrastructure and also, of course, Hamas's missile launch pads. What I mean is Israel must reoccupy the Philadelphia Road. Israel must reoccupy the Gaza-Egypt border. Israel must reoccupy key areas of the Gaza Strip. Israel must continue to maintain a full naval blockade of the Gaza Strip. Israel needs to be there permanently. This is the only way. There's no other way around it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. International forces will not do. There'll be a disaster, if anything. If we've seen in the past the international troops and international monitors fleeing from the Gaza border. So Israel needs to permanently reoccupy key sections of the Gaza Strip. We all knew this would happen. Those of us with some sort of analytical brain knew that when Israel got out of Gaza in 2005, obviously Hamas would take over. Obviously Hamas would use the area as a staging grounds to further target Jewish communities outside of the Gaza Strip. That's exactly what I said, what I reported many times back when I was a reporter, back in the day in Gush Katif in the Jewish communities of Gaza. I'm not somebody who looks at Israel, I know a lot of people listening to this program think that Israel can do no wrong, that every military operation that Israel ever carries out is golden. Well, I'm sorry to say, but that hasn't been the case in the last two military operations. For one, was an abject failure. I'm talking in 2006 in Lebanon when Israel went in, and then you had Ehud Olmert, the prime minister at the time, refusing to allow the Israeli Defense Forces to do what they needed to do, and that would be send the ground troops to the Litani River and then start cleaning it out. It would have taken several more months. But thank you, Olmert. Thank you, Livni. Thank you, Condoleezza Rice. Thank you, President Bush, for the ceasefire before Israel could even finish its business. And so, what do we have now? Hezbollah controlling Lebanon. Hezbollah has more missiles and rockets. In fact, many more times the number they had before Israel went in 2006. Then you look at 2008. I wouldn't say the December-January 2008-2009 incursion in the Gaza Strip was necessarily a failure, but it didn't really do much. Ultimately, it was just a few months that Hamas was deterred. For a few months, they had they were kind of desperate for more missiles and rockets, but then the missiles and rockets and munitions came in. Just as right now, Iran, I have specific information that Iran from the outside is trying to rearm furiously. I'm told that they're working overtime, according to Israeli defense sources, to get more rockets, particularly the long-range Fajr 5 missiles that can reach Tel Aviv and beyond, to get them into the Gaza Strip. This, as Iranian Revolutionary Guard units, I'm told, are on the ground in Gaza, and they're the ones who have been overseeing the Hamas, the Iranian-backed Islamic Jihad, the other witch's brew of jihadists in Gaza. They're firing rockets and missiles into Israel. I repeat, Iran is on the ground in Gaza, overseeing the rocket fire into Jewish civilian population zones, including into Jerusalem, including into Tel Aviv. Do you think that the Palestinians could really put together the kind of advanced missile and rocket launchers that they have, that I'm sure you've seen on the news, without help from Iran? Of course not. The Iranian access and the larger scope of what is going on in the Middle East is key. It's key to understanding that Israel right now is not just fighting. This is not simply a war of Israel versus Hamas. This is much larger. I would go so far as to say that this is us. This is we, the people. This is the Western world fighting right now against the Muslim Brotherhood axis that's taking over the Middle East and North Africa, thanks in good part to President Obama and his policies of deposing regimes in Benghazi and Libya, which we're going to get to in a major way. I have new information, quite a bit of information, that changes the game yet again in what really happened in Benghazi, what Obama does not want you to know, the real Benghazi scandal. We're going to get to that later. Did you see that Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi sent his prime minister, Hisham Kindal, to the territory, to Gaza, for a three-hour visit on Friday to show solidarity with the Palestinians? This is the new Egypt. This is the new scope of things and the scale of things in the Middle East. Egypt openly sided with Hamas. What Bibi is doing right now, he's not simply fighting Hamas. He is fighting the new Middle East. That is why maybe I'll briefly retract that statement that Israel, unless Israel is prepared to entirely reoccupy key sections of Gaza, they should stop the fighting now. They should continue. They must deal a decisive blow, because if they don't, if Israel does not win in the Gaza Strip, this is going to be a victory not only for Hamas, but for all of the new Muslim Brotherhood regimes that are being birthed again, thank you to President Obama. This is why it was very significant when the ruler of Qatar, the Emir of Qatar, and his wife visited the Gaza Strip about a week ago. Qatar is no friend of Hamas. The fact that Qatar, which has been close with the Israeli leadership behind the scenes for years, now feels that it publicly needs to move toward Hamas toward the Muslim Brotherhood. This shows you the lack of U.S. leadership. This shows you the change of allies that is going on right now because the leaders understand exactly what is taking place. They understand what America is doing and what it isn't doing in the Middle East, and this has sent signals throughout the Muslim and Arab world. Right now, facing an insurgency from the Muslim Brotherhood that could overthrow the Jordanian regime. So could you imagine the ramifications, let's just say, for Jordan, should the Muslim Brotherhood allies in Gaza, Hamas, not be defeated in this war? Notice that Hamas, because on Friday when the Egyptian Prime Minister was there, Israel temporarily suspended its bombing campaign of certain areas of Gaza. So now Hamas is calling on leaders throughout the Arab world to visit the Gaza Strip every day so that Israel cannot bomb those areas. I say Israel, of course, should bomb on. Now, I'm going to be taking your questions and comments as we kick off this live war edition of... I knew that this day would come, by the way. I knew that one day, in the very near future, I would open up this program saying that Israel is at war and that Tel Aviv is under rocket threat. Well, that day is here. That day is now. I think things are only going to get worse. So I'm going to be taking your calls, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We have a lot to cover today. Obviously, the war is a major focus. We're also going to take it to the U.S., to the possibility of Hezbollah cells right now inside the U.S. You need to hear this. You need to call up right now, 1-800-848-9222, taking your questions and comments shortly.
Okay. Is everybody interested in that? To keep on listening for a while? Okay. I've been watching Israel very closely the last couple of days, and I saw this guy was going to do a live show from Jerusalem. So while they're doing an advertising, I'll play some more music. How's that do?
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving mother up there in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Of
course, to Iran. Now, there are reports today, not confirmed, but reports that Israeli special forces are already on the ground in Gaza, select units reportedly looking for hidden rockets and other weapons that Hamas, desperate, could possibly affix, they say, chemical weapons to its remaining long-range Fajr 5 missiles. I'll tell you, the war now is unlike anything in recent memory for most Israelis. The war is being felt across the nation. Every single city, technically, within the immediate threat of rockets. Hamas crossed all red lines already by firing into Tel Aviv, by firing into Jerusalem. This could become the new normal. This could be a new status quo for rocket capabilities. This is why Israel cannot stop. If they do, what they show to Hamas is that once Hamas fires rockets into Tel Aviv, we, Israel, we're going to stop. That would be the immediate ramifications. There are psychological ramifications, obviously, for all Israelis. The story right now, the feeling of unease of really going anywhere beyond 15 seconds from the bomb shelter. As I said, you've got 15 seconds to run into a bomb shelter. Although, let me tell you, I've been two times already in public areas where there was the siren that went off. We did not run. Israelis are not panicking. They're walking quickly, though. They're not running. They're not panicking to the bomb shelter. Earlier today, this was about 7 hours ago, 7.5 hours ago, I was in Dizengoff Center, which is the main shopping center, the biggest shopping mall in Tel Aviv. While I was there, this was when today the air siren went off. And then there was an announcement in the speaker in the center for everybody to go quickly to the underground parking garage. So I saw they were walking in single file, walking quickly but not running. I don't really see that honestly happening in America. If obviously Americans are not too used to the possibility of air sirens going off, but Israelis are not used to it at this point. When I got downstairs, one girl heard me talking English in the cell phone. So she knew I was American. When I was done, she asked me, she said, "Well, you're from America. I feel bad for you. Are you doing okay?" I said, "Oh, don't worry about me. I was a reporter stationed in Gush Katif, the Jewish communities of Gaza. I was there for about 4 months. When Hamas was firing an average of like 12, 15, 20 rockets into the small community where I was staying. So I'm used to this. Are you doing okay?" Earlier today, the Palestinian Authority pathetic president, Mahmoud Abbas, made a public debut, briefly came out of hiding where he usually lives in his mukattar in the compound in Ramallah to accuse Israel of all sorts of atrocities and then to call for protests against Israeli aggression, quote unquote. Oh, shut up, Mahmoud Abbas. You love this. You know you're not fooling anybody. This helps you. Your biggest enemy is Hamas. You are cheering Israel on behind the scenes. One group of individuals who are certainly not cheering Israel on behind the scenes or publicly would be the reporters stationed here with me in Israel. The coverage of what has been going on is absolutely and has been abominable. It's been disgusting. The moral equivalence between both sides this and both sides that, both sides of the conflict. I really need to start with the basics of what has been going on, because the news media has been lying to you. They don't tell you how this all started. It started about a week and a half ago, where first a massive tunnel was discovered. This was from southern Gaza, right under the Israeli border. Jihadists on their way to blow this tunnel up to carry out a major, would have been a huge, cross-border Israel attack. The Israeli Defense Forces stopped the attack. They collapsed the tunnel. Then there was firing at an Israeli Defense Forces jeep, firing on the Israeli side of the border from the Gaza side of the border this past Saturday. And then from last Friday, a week and some days ago, until Sunday, Hamas fired over 120 rockets from Gaza at Jewish neighborhoods. So that's what started the conflict. Don't believe what CNN tells you of tit for tat and this side fired at that side and both sides of the conflict. Let me read to you one piece from the Huffington Post that I thought was disgusting. Here's a media coverage right now. Huffington Post says, "As the military strikes and political rhetoric in Gaza and Israel escalate, it is civilians on both sides that bear the brunt of the violence." Now, let me read to you a CNN headline from just a few hours ago. "Israel readies to invade Gaza as strikes from both sides continue." As if both sides, the striking, the airstrikes on both sides are morally equivalent. I can go on and on. It's very similar rhetoric, very similar headlines and reporting from the AP, from Reuters, from the Washington Post, and of course from our good friends at the BBC and at other places. No, here's what the media is not telling you. They didn't tell you that since the start of the conflict, Israel let in 23 Palestinians who were severely wounded into Israel and were treated and have been and continue right now to be treated in Israeli hospitals. Here's what they're also not telling you, that unlike the Hamas side that uses civilians at apartment complexes and hospitals to hide in and to fire rockets into Israel, and when they aim those rockets, they're aiming for maximum civilian casualties. You saw the photo at Klein Online this past week. I referred to it earlier. Very happy that Klein Online is becoming a central place for the news and updates on what's going on right now in Israel and the Gaza Strip. The traffic is absolutely through the roof. Here's what they're not telling you. The IDF, before the IAF, that would actually be Israel Air Force, before they carry out surgical, that's right, surgical airstrikes in Gaza, they're not carpet bombing anything. First, and there's no other, I don't know of any other country, any other army in the world that does this. First, they place a bunch of phone calls to local residents. They even leave voice messages, recorded messages. Then they overfly sometimes the areas and announce that the areas are going to be bombed. They drop leaflets, if they still didn't get the point, into the different areas that they bomb. Also, they delay and many times cancel strikes when casualties will become likely. Is there any other country that does that? The answer is absolutely not. I don't even think that Israel should be doing that because it gives the terrorists advance warning of what is coming in. So the news media should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. You reporters should be ashamed of yourselves for not being able to tell the difference between a democracy that is defending its own people from rocket attacks and the biggest terrorist sanctuary in the world. All right, 1-800-848-WABC is the number here. I'm taking your questions and comments next. Calls pouring in during this live war broadcast from Tel Aviv. 1-800-848-9222, open line decline, mypillow.com, phone lines, 1-800-848-WABC.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise, don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you.
Here's Aaron Klein.
Yerushalayim shel zahav v'shel nechoshet v'shel or halo lecho shirayich ani kinyon.
Broadcasting live from Tel Aviv, Israel. Just got information in the last few minutes that the Iron Dome system just three hours ago, they intercepted three rockets launched from Gaza toward both Tel Aviv and they say beyond. The reason the air siren didn't go off 3 hours ago was because apparently it was intercepted so close to the Gaza Strip that they didn't need to worry the residents here. 1-800-848-WABC is the number. Good luck getting through. The lines are quite busy. Let's start immediately with Charlie in Wayne, New Jersey. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Aaron. Let me just say that this war of Israel's is a farce, just as the United States Israel against war on terror is a farce. What that Israel needs to do is to push through Gaza, push through Sinai, push all the Arab soldiers and their families, etc., into the loving arms of the Muslim Brotherhood. And I know you're doing a good job, Aaron, but please stop saying to reoccupy Gaza. It's our land. It's Israeli land. And so is Sinai. We should not be taking care of Palestinian soldiers. Let them bleed to death on the battlefield. That's what I say. And let the American people know, the ones that voted for Barry Davis, that Hamas, that the PLA, that the Muslim Brotherhood have received billions of dollars to the United States government. That's how serious our war on terror is.
Well, they have a full military in Egypt, courtesy of the U.S. government over the years. And then, of course, we deposed Mubarak, and now we have the Muslim Brotherhood, and yet giving $200 million more dollars. No, I'm not somebody who pushes for blood, so I'm not going to do that. Thank you, Charlie. But I'll tell you that it's very interesting to me that Israel today opened up what is known as the Keren Shalom crossing. That's a major humanitarian crossing between Israel and the Gaza Strip, where right now many trucks, convoys of humanitarian aid is going into the Gaza Strip from Israel. Israel continuing to provide, of course, electricity to Gaza, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. But I'm mentioning this because you mentioned Egypt. Now, interestingly, while Israel opens up the border between it and the Gaza Strip, which I'm not so sure they should be doing, but they are, Gaza and Egypt is sealed shut. Egypt doesn't want the so-called Palestinian refugees from Gaza. They're not really refugees flowing into Egypt. They want to perpetuate the conflict. If they really wanted to end this, all they would have to do is open the border. The Palestinians would flood out of Gaza even whether there was a conflict or not. They don't want to be in the Gaza Strip. They want to move into Egypt and try to get some jobs there, even beyond the war. So it's interesting that the Muslim Brotherhood that loves the Palestinians so much does not open up that crossing. Very interesting to me. Thank you, Charlie, for your call. Let's go to Sarah in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Aaron. First of all, thank you so much for being there and trying to get the truth across to everybody, which a lot of people disbelieve it anyway. I just wanted to tell you how the situation is from a personal level. My grandchildren live in Kiryat Gat. They have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old child. Friday, they had to get out of the city because the rockets were falling. They were afraid. They were going to Arad by bus. And all the people that were waiting for the bus were standing in line, and suddenly the sirens went off. They all had to lie flat on the ground. So my grandson took one of the children and ran across the street. So he shouldn't be together with my granddaughter with the other baby. Just in case something happened, half of them should survive. That is the situation.
Yeah, it's a very bad situation here. As I said, Israelis are feeling it everywhere. Even in Jerusalem, my mother on Thursday called me and said, Aaron, get out of Tel Aviv, go to Jerusalem. And I wasn't going to go anyway, but on Friday, Jerusalem got rocketed, or right outside of Jerusalem. You're talking about Arad, that's a little bit close to the Dead Sea, a few miles outside of Jerusalem. The rocket, I'm told, landed in Gush Etzion. Very interestingly, by the way, it landed in an Arab neighborhood in Gush Etzion, which is in between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Also, earlier today, I'll tell you, this is the second time now I told you just 3 hours ago there was a missile fired at Tel Aviv, but the siren didn't go off. Today, I actually slept through this siren, which is quite scary to me that I did that. I've had Uzi, the dog that you guys all know and love, for several months now. In the entire 4.5, 5 months I had him, he never once ever woke me up. He's very good. He sleeps when I sleep. If I get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, he wakes up and then goes back to bed. When I go back to bed at 10:35 this morning, around there, he woke me up, and not just woke me up, he's like poking at me and poking at me. I just went back to bed. I checked the clock. It was 10:35. Then I went back to bed. After, and by the way, I sleep by interesting hours here in Israel. I go to bed very late at about 4 in the morning and then wake up at about 12 in the afternoon. So anyway, later on, I woke up finally, and I saw that at 10:35, the exact time that Uzi woke me up, the siren went off. I didn't hear it. So what they have here is a radio station that is totally silent. I'm going to now put it on throughout the house. And the only time that it makes any sound is when the Iron Dome system goes off. So this way it's very easy to know if indeed the system goes off or not. I'm going to have it blasting on the loudspeakers throughout the house. Thank you, Sarah, for your call. Yes, it is very difficult for Israelis living here, just as it's difficult for Palestinians. But guess what? That is to be blamed on Hamas. Let's go to Ricky in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Ricky. Ricky, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, you're on the radio.
Thank you. Oh, Aaron Klein?
Yep, go for it.
Oh, hello, how are you? First of all, I want to tell you, you're doing a fantastic job, and I wish the whole world could listen to you and hear what you say. Because
I'll tell you, actually, the ratings of this program, I'm not allowed to announce the numbers, but I'll tell you, they're getting really good. Last month was amazing, so a lot of people are listening more and more. Anyway, continue.
I'm telling everyone to listen. We're really hooked to that. You are my my daily every time that you are my daily university on that day. But thank you again. You know, I was in the Israeli army. I'm talking from New York now. I live in New York, and by the way, I was a major, if you wanna know. But
oh, wow.
Things never change because they used to be, you know, they used to shoot and to use the sword, and now they have the missiles. But the bottom line is that whatever they want to do is the same thing. It was then and it's now. And it's just getting harder and harder for Israelis really to live. And I am very surprised, and I think someone has to do something with that, if I may. The United Nations never gather when they send missiles on Israel for 12 years, and some days were very terrified. There was horrible days that, and intifada, and you never saw the United Nations coming and gathering and discussing and doing anything to save the Jewish people or to do something. But the minute is the Israelis open fire or try to defend and to do something for our civilized, right away the whole world all of a sudden wake up from their long sleep and accusing Israel, and very soon we're probably going to hear all these, you know, wonderful people that talking about the rights of human, you know, against Israel. And that's very frustrating. I just, you know, thought to make this
comment. Well, also, by the way, what about the news media that could care less about Sderot, could care less about the Jewish communities outside of Gaza for years now under the barrage of rockets? Do people understand that when the Israeli Defense Forces, when the Israeli Air Force aims a rocket into the Gaza Strip, they're calibrating so closely to the exact precise detail of where they're going to hit in order to minimize civilian casualties, which is very difficult when Hamas fires from hospitals and apartment complexes, whereas Hamas is firing to target civilians. That is the target. That is what they're aiming for. And yet for years, where was the news media? Where was the United Nations? Where was even the United States about the constant rocket barrage outside of Gaza? And now, finally, Israel has to go in and defend itself and clean it out the terrorist den, the terrorist sanctuary that is the Gaza Strip. And, of course, the world is always in uproar. So, obviously, there has to be some reason behind that. And I think a lot of it is absolute institutionalized anti-Semitism. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Thank you, Ricky. In Brooklyn, let's go to Dory in Peekskill, New York. Hi, Dory.
How are you, Aaron? I appreciate you taking my call very much. Just real quickly, I want to say I've always considered you and Dory Gold as pretty much the foremost authorities on that region in the world, and I've read a couple of your books. Thank you for taking my call. What I want to ask what I'd like to ask you tonight is, you may not want to speculate, but however you could phrase it, I want to know your opinion on what if, God forbid, things do hit the fan. What do you think the reaction will be by the administration here, as well as what do you think Egypt will do, just based on your experience?
Very interesting. All right, well, President Obama, on the one hand, I have to say he's really been very supportive of Israel these last few days. Well, interestingly, I don't think he really minds the international news focusing instead of Benghazi on the war in Gaza. That being said, President Obama's support for Israel, it seems, just ended today. Don't be fooled by the headlines. Read what he actually said. Obama said that Israel has a right to defend itself, but that it would be preferable, quote-unquote, to avoid a Israeli ground offensive. Let me read to you his quotes. He said, quote, "If this can be accomplished, this meaning cleaning out Gaza, without a ramping up of a military activity in Gaza, that is preferable. That's just not preferable for the people of Gaza. It's also preferable for Israelis, because if Israeli troops are in Gaza, they are much more at risk of incurring fatalities and being wounded." So what he's saying is he would rather not have a ground war. Well, wait a minute. What right does President Obama have to go to a sovereign country that has rockets being launched into its capital, into Jerusalem, into its commercial capital, which would be Tel Aviv? How dare you, President Obama? Who are you to tell Israel that they should only do airstrikes and not ground operation inside the Gaza Strip, when we know, in order to clean out the rat's nest of Gaza, we're going to absolutely need a ground operation? So Obama's support for Israel is withering by the day. Now he says, quote, "We're going to have to see what kind of progress," he loves that word, progress, forward, progressive, "what kind of progress we can make in the next 24, 36, 48 hours, he added. So he's dictating to Israel what the Israeli military should and should not do in the face of all of its civilians right now, the entire country under the threat of rockets. Now, Egypt is also quite interesting here. We have to pay very close attention. I don't necessarily think that the new Muslim Brotherhood leadership in Egypt wants a military confrontation with Israel right now. But are any of the rockets that are being launched at Israel coming from the Sinai Peninsula? Very interestingly, we've had some reports, and I've had sources who said, yes, they are. But Israel's not admitting to that, probably because they don't want to expand the operation to where it needs to be expanded, and that is the Sinai. They could do whatever they want in the Gaza Strip. If they don't clean out the Sinai, things will very likely continue. But Egypt will tacitly support, absolutely, Hamas, their brothers in arms, Hamas. Speaking of brothers in arms, I'm going to continue to take your calls, 1-800-848-WABC, next.
If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpected, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they've been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard, and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read? And let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or maybe would you change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or hope that they would stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last had gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you.
Continuing my live broadcast from Tel Aviv, where there's been a flurry of reports these last 24 hours of ceasefire talks between Israel and Hamas. Now, I do know it is true, according to my sources, that Israel has entered into these talks, probably under heavy, heavy pressure from the United States and from other sides. But I believe, and my sources are telling me, that it is highly unlikely that any ceasefire will be achieved, and that what we're going to see instead is a major expansion of Israel's offensive in the Gaza Strip. Obviously, there can be no ceasefire with a group that, as a precondition, I'm told by Hamas sources that I talked to very briefly, by the way. It's very difficult to get them on the phone. I wanted to try to get Hamas on tonight's program, but they really will only be on the phone for like 60 seconds at a time, and it's very difficult to pin them down. Now, also very interesting, last week, if you remember, we had the chief of Hamas in Gaza, Dr. Mahmoud Al-Zahar, on this program, but he was only on for 3-4 minutes. What you don't know is that behind the scenes, he first told me that he could only be on for 3 or 4 minutes, which was very strange. Maybe he knew that something was going to happen. Maybe he knew Hamas leaders may be targeted. I don't know. Certainly right now he's under target. So I understand that Hamas is demanding, as a precondition for a truce, among other things, a complete end to Israel's naval blockade and land blockade of the Gaza Strip. In other words, they want to bring rockets and missiles back into Tel Aviv as soon as possible, and so that's their demand. All right, 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Ken in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Aaron. You know, if I had anxiety by the result of the election here in the United States, it's been ratcheted up several degrees by what's going on over in Israel. And I'm not very politically educated or formally educated, so I wanted to ask you, do I have my assessment of the situation correct, that as Israel goes, the rest of the world goes? I mean, what kind of a message does it send to our enemies and our allies alike if we have this lukewarm, you know, kind of pseudo support for the state of Israel? I mean, I'm not Jewish, but I instinctively feel aligned with the state of Israel. I'm very worried, and it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that our media is kind of, our public, I should say, has been beguiled by the campaign that the Democrats ran with the collusion of the media, and it's so dangerous right now, economically here in the United States, but also, you know, you look at Benghazi and how it's happening with Israel, and we have Barack Obama. We have the exact wrong person in the White House for what's happening in the country and outside. Do I have it right, Aaron?
Oh, yeah, you do. And when I say that Israel is fighting not just for Israel, Israel right now is fighting for the West. Israel is fighting for you. Israel is fighting for the United States, because Israel is fighting the exact Muslim Brotherhood access that President Obama has been emboldening. And so if Israel loses, this is a disaster. But the problem is that the message has already been sent. It doesn't matter almost what Obama does right now. The message has been sent to our enemies throughout the world. This is why previous allies like Saudi Arabia, like Qatar, like Kuwait, like Jordan are now running to the Muslim Brotherhood, are now running to Hamas. Jordan's next to go, as I said. Jordan, our ally in the Middle East, after Libya, after Egypt, Jordan is going to fall. I believe this is a disaster. And it's not just a disaster in my neck of the woods. We're going to very likely see this come back to nest within the U.S. Already an act of war was declared against us in Libya. Our ambassador was killed. What more do you want for Al-Qaeda to do before we get the message? Now, if you look at other Al-Qaeda attacks, like the USS Cole and others, they were precursors for what came, for September 11th. And so what is Benghazi, if not anything, but a precursor for what might come? And so if Obama does not fully support every single military action that Israel believes it needs to take in order to defeat Hamas, then you know what? He's abandoning the U.S. as well. He's not just abandoning Israel. He's abandoning the U.S. to Hamas, to the Muslim Brotherhood. And that will send a message that will have ramifications, I believe, major, disastrous for us, for the U.S. Thank you, Ken. Let's go to Moshe in Monroe, New York. Hi, Moshe. All right, so let's go to Rick in Peekskill, New York. Hi, Rick.
Yeah, I think Israel has shown great constraint over the years because they're rumored to have nuclear weapons. In fact, I heard that in 73 that they were running short on conventional weapons, and they were almost ready to use their nuclear weapons, but Nixon was able to send off some conventional weapons so they could win the war back then. And also, I think using missile defense in Israel should give us great relief to maybe our missile defense to work. Of course, I'd rather have lasers and maybe particle beam weapons like what I sent off to Nixon in 70, but at least they're doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, the missile defense is an amazing feat of U.S. and Israeli ingenuity. It's brilliant. Can you imagine, I mean, a missile coming in at who knows how many miles a minute? I'm not sure how fast they travel, but they travel fast. I mean, it's like 30, 40 seconds from Gaza into Tel Aviv, and then it's here, so it has to be going quickly. And then they fight. First of all, they have to trace them. They have to trace by computer every single projectile that goes out of Gaza. And then within a split second or so, a human has to make a decision about whether or not to launch these batteries up and take the missiles down. And in order to do that, they have to quickly look at computer projections, trajectory of the missile. Is it going to land in the sea? So is it worth it to fire an anti-missile battery? Is it going to go all the way to Tel Aviv? Is it going to go to Ashdod? Will it hit a community here, a playground there? And then all of this within seconds, calibrating in the minds of military, of soldiers, Israeli soldiers. Then finally it's fired and it actually can find and trace and destroy the missile again within seconds. It's brilliant. It's absolutely ingenious. And I think that it's it really does give now a new dimension to the missile defense talks with Poland. Remember, Obama, after my election, I'm going to have more flexibility to Russia comment. So I think Poland is paying close attention. Eastern Europe is paying very close attention. Thank you, Rick, for the call. Let's go here to Mike in Glen Ridge, New Jersey. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hi, Aaron. I wanted to talk about the state of American politics, which obviously has tremendous implications for the world and Israel. Everybody's talking about the Republican Party needs to do some soul searching. I mean, this is utter nonsense. The soul of the Republican Party is conservatism, and it's right there, and they rejected it. The Republican establishment, and the election, Obama.
Yeah,
got
and now the soul of the Democrat Party is progressivism, and we see where we're progressing. We're progressing to a Muslim Brotherhood state here. We're progressing to a welfare state in the U.S. We're going to go to the U.S. Is Hezbollah there? We're going to go to Benghazi. That's all next. Plus more Tel Aviv, and more of your calls. Stay tuned.
Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knee, killing your own good time. You answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. And teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Let me humble my pride and call on your name, and keep my faith renewed, my eyes only on thee. And let me be on this earth what you want me to be.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord,
his arms around me. I saw the scars in his hands. I saw Jesus when I prayed last night. When I prayed last night, I heard my Savior say, come to me, I will make your burdens light. Then we walked through the valley, and we stood by his grave. I saw Jesus when I prayed last night. Yes, my dear mother, a long time ago, trust in Jesus, he will make your future bright. Now I understand the meaning of his wonderful love. I saw Jesus when I prayed last night. When I prayed last night, I heard my Savior say, come to me, I will make your burdens light. Then we walked through the valley, and we stood by his grave. I saw Jesus when I prayed last night.